I will ask you please to turn to the first testament of our Bible in the book of Exodus in chapter 12. That's the second book in your Bible. In what is spoken of as the Old Testament of our Bible, as we've been hearing, God uses picture language to illustrate the doctrine of the New Testament in many, many passages. I know that possibly some of you in reading the Old Testament think it's full of genealogies. It's a lot of names. Well, God does that very purposely, because one thing, friend, that we need to remember tonight is the message of God's Word is for all of humanity. And so God reaches into different nationalities in the Old Testament, and He's showing the manner in which He governs in His kindness in showing man, by illustration and by experience, the wondrous truth that you've been hearing tonight about a Savior who lives and can be received as one's personal Savior. We're going to read chapter 12, and there is one word that I want to try and notice with you tonight from this passage. As we read it, three times you're going to find this word in the passage, because it's going to illustrate for us that God's message is an invitation. And I trust that we will realize tonight, friend, that while God's Word is very revealing and it uncovers to us spiritually what we could never evaluate apart from the Word of God, it's going to be an invitation to us in the wondrous mercy and heart of such a great God that you and I might come to the receiving the reality of salvation. Verse 1, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. That's a good illustration of being born again, getting a new start with eternal life. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And that is the first occasion for the word I want to notice with you, and that is, take the lamb, says God. Take the lamb. Verse 4 reads, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire, and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will become your Savior. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Notice verse 29. And it came to pass, at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now I realize that that is a very solemn passage to read, And I think possibly we read many of these passages too lightly and too quickly. But I want to try and notice four things to draw to your attention tonight, just before we come to the close of the meeting, which is scheduled to close at 8:15 this evening. I want to notice with you the condemnation of the land of Egypt. And then I want to try and impress upon us tonight the crisis that faced these people. And the clock has something to do with it. Time. And we notice as well a choice that the people had to make that night, to take the lamb and take the blood and take God's word as promise, or perish with a great cry of sorrow. This is a passage that illustrates for us in a very concise manner, friend, the condemnation that is upon the race of humanity. Sometimes we seem to think in our mind that religion is trying to sort people out. Friend, you and I are human beings. It takes us right back to Adam and Eve. They disobeyed their Creator and fell. Completely, absolutely. It required redemption by death for their salvation with their Creator. And friend, you and I are the offspring. So really the question that faces you and I tonight in light of what we've been hearing already is, we are condemned. We are a condemned people. When we look at the illustration that's before us in this passage, which was a real experience, let me point out to you that the manner of God's dealing with the king of Egypt, that king was a usurper. He was not an Egyptian. He was a Hyksos. He performed a coup d'etat and killed the Pharaoh. He's a usurper. It's a picture of Satan. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The usurper took over. Man gave in to him. And these people were slaves. Slaves to that usurper. That's a picture of humanity, friend. I was there. By nature, you and I are all there. We're slaves in a human race that has been taken over by a usurper. And the marvel, friend, that our Creator God, in the wonder of His person, He has found a way righteously that He can offer a deliverance to every individual. And you've been hearing of it tonight. Being born again, a new beginning, eternal life, being saved, delivered from the condemnation and the kingdom of the usurper. That's God's message, friend. See, it's not religion to change the outside. It's a divine power and a divine work to give spiritual life, to transfer from the condemnation in which we're found into the liberty of salvation. That's the great message of the gospel that's illustrated in this passage that I want to notice with you. And could I ask this audience tonight, friend, as one human to another, is there anyone here tonight that believes God, that as a human being, you are a condemned sinner? That's the way you were born, friend. You couldn't help that. That's not your fault. But it will be your fault if you die that way. That's what the message of the gospel is intended to inform us and to reach our minds and our hearts. Believe God tonight, friend. You are a condemned sinner. God loves you. The great purpose of His heart is to see you delivered from that condemnation. Will you perish with the usurper? Will you linger and say, I'll take my own way? When God is revealing in His great love for you and for me, He's revealing the condition and the danger and the reality of our condemnation. Not only are we born, friend, into a sinful race and therefore with a sinful nature, but we sin every day. It's God who has set the standard. It's what He says is sin is sin. We look upon lying as sin. We look upon murder, of course, as sin. And we look upon immorality as sin. But friend, everything that is less than perfection in the eye of our Creator God is sin. We're lost. Friend, we're self-condemned. We sin every day. Myself first of all. I'm not before you because I'm better, friend. I'm before you tonight with the precious joy of being able to tell you I have God's salvation and I want to see you get it. That's the great purpose of preaching the gospel. And therefore, in this passage, we find these people are condemned. And there is a crisis in their life. And that crisis is the fact that God had been dealing with these people and dealing with the very land in which they were living, dealing with the usurper. 9 different times, he'd been manifesting the sovereignty and as well his love for the people. And friend, the God of heaven, your God, your Creator, my God, my Creator, you know as well as I how often he has stepped into the conditions of man and earth. And man brushes it off. We lay it aside as being, it's a sad affair of nature. We're sorry that the wind got up and the flames and whatever it may be. Little realizing that God is wanting to stir humanity to see. This is a time of crisis. You are condemned. Will you perish? Will you believe God tonight, friend? Let me notice what marked the crisis of this occasion for these people. As I've mentioned to you, there was a clock involved. God said, this night. And my friend, it is only deity, only God, who is the creator of time. He is sovereign in his dealings in time. I know not the time of my departure. You know not the time, friend, of your departure or of a situation of accident which I have witnessed with those whom I love. And they could no longer think. Time did it. Are you saved? Friend, this is spiritual crisis. You and I are slaves under that usurper by nature. We're self-condemned by our own sin. This is crisis. Furthermore, God not only said this night, but it's God that told what was going to happen that night. He determined, friend, and showed them that the shadow of death was over that land. And he pointed out, relative to families and individuals in the families who were in danger of death. I hope tonight, friend, that you and I will come to grips with this fact. God, in wondrous love, unmerited by me, unmerited by you, he's warning you faithfully. In his love, he puts it into the doctrines of the New Testament so plainly. We're looking at a picture. But he states it plainly. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Again, he tells us in his word, friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know that. And if God is touching your conscience, friend, and perhaps even before you came into this room tonight, this auditorium, you had thoughts about what will ever happen when I meet God. Let me say to you, friend, that's divine love that's touching you to awaken you to see this is crisis. It's salvation or everlasting lostness to God, as we've been hearing in the awful realities of everlasting suffering in the lake of fire. That's the result of sin, friend. And as a human being, you die in your sin. That will be your portion. If I had died in my sin, that's where I'd be right now. Thank God for wondrous grace that woke me up to face reality. Jim Smith, I remember well that Sunday night as I sat in my father's old car in the back seat. And I looked out the window. My sister and brother were quite young. And Dad and Mom were out on the sidewalk. And as I looked at them, I thought, if the Lord Jesus comes to the air tonight to close the door, Jim, you're lost. You'll be in hell, and you know it. Now, I knew it all right, but I tried to run away from it. But that night, I thank God I faced it, and I honestly confessed to God, yes, God, and that's all I deserve anyway. You know, friend, that's the night that I found out why God was trying to awaken me. He wanted to show me there was a Savior available to be trusted for a sinner like me. And that night, I took Him at His word. I have Christ as my Savior. I have His word to secure it, friend, and to confirm it. Would you not like it tonight in this moment of crises? That brings me to the choice that I want to look at with you, the invitation of God. Isn't it a marvelous thing that God should choose a lamb to give to these people? Why not choose a bull or a donkey or a camel? No, God chooses a lamb, just a lamb. But this is the point, friend. That lamb satisfied God, and that's what counts. See, it's not the people saying, well, I'll find a big bullock. Maybe I can satisfy God with that. Or maybe if I paid Him all the savings that we've got, if I just give Him that, Lord, I'll give you everything I have. I don't want to die in this time of crises. No, friend, I know you do not want to die in your sin. I know you do not want to die that way. Let me say to you, God says, take the lamb. You see that spotless lamb? He gave it to them for 5 days that they had that lamb. Not to see if it had any spot. That was already regulated. That was already determined. God gave them that lamb. Friend, it's a divine gift to them. See, they didn't have to figure out anything. They just had to believe God. God said, take the lamb. The lamb satisfies Him. One day on the banks of the Jordan, John the Baptist stood, and as the Lord Jesus approached him, he said to the people, behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Friend, wouldn't you like that lamb tonight? God says, take the lamb. He's offering the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive at the right hand of the Father in heaven tonight, a resurrected Savior. He, friend, who suffered and died upon the cross. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love. There at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, God's choice. He gave Him, friend, and He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. You need not go away, friend, in your sin still condemned, in a moment of crisis that you know not what the day may bring forth. But oh, to be able to lay your head upon your pillow tonight and be able to thank God for the Lamb. God says, take the Lamb. What an invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ is available to be trusted tonight. Believe God, friend, that your salvation is all dependent on the worth of that lamb to God. That's what He's telling us. That's what we've been hearing tonight from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, put their faith in Him. That's believing God. God says, they have everlasting, shall never perish, but have everlasting life. The next thing we notice in our little passage is that God said, take the blood. But before he offered that to them, He commanded that they be made conscious that they were responsible for the death of that lamb. That must have been a moving moment. I know each one of us who are parents here tonight, in a time of crisis such as that, to think of a son that could be lost to them forever. They had the lamb. They believed God about the lamb. Now look at that lamb, friend. That lamb that satisfies God. they're responsible for its death. Friend, I would like to say to each one of us here tonight, whatever you do, don't pass over Calvary lightly. Look to Calvary tonight. Upon that middle tree, the eternal Son of God incarnate. He took humanity so he could go to that tree. And the reason for his going to that cross was our condemnation. Friend, you and I were responsible for Calvary. That is a tremendously solemn charge that lies upon every human being in this room tonight. Responsible for the death of the Lamb. There was no reason in the Lamb that it should die. There was no reason in God that he should kill it. Now it's the condemnation of the people. And that Lamb died. And God said, now, take the blood. You see, that blood satisfied the avenging angel. The judgment of condemnation is seen completely satisfied in the blood of the Lamb. And my friend tonight, that's what God wants you to see in Calvary. There's that man and his family, and he sees as his hands are stained with the blood of that Lamb. He's responsible for it. What is he going to do with that blood now? That blood satisfies the condemnation. It satisfies the very plan, unfolds the very plan of God. God provided the Lamb. They believed him. They took it. And the moment they took that blood and applied it to the door, you know why they applied it to the door? They were declaring to God that they believed him. Their salvation lay in the Lamb and its shed blood. That's their salvation. And then God said, now you take my word for it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. He became their Savior. Friend, tonight, the God of eternity, the author of your breath, the one who chose to give you life while others were stillborn. Can I say to you tonight, his love reaches out. And if never before in your experience, in light of what you've been hearing, you must be born again. You must have that day of new beginning. You must come to know the saving power of the Lamb and his precious blood. God to be your Savior. And you can receive it. Put faith in Christ, the Lamb of God, who has been to the cross. His precious blood was shed, friend. The blood of the Lamb satisfies every claim of righteous judgment against you and me as the sinner, and against the cost and payment and account of our guilt. Marvelous Savior, best news you could ever hear, friend. Take the blood. God says that's an offer that I'm giving you tonight. Take the Lamb. Believe me, the Lamb satisfies me. Take the blood. That satisfies your condemnation. And then he says, you take my word for it. When I see the blood, you see, friend, God's satisfaction with that those people was found in this. They put their faith in the death and blood of that Lamb, believing God, and they were saved. Right there that night, nothing could change it. And the great cry that was heard in Egypt. Oh, what an awful cry would be found in this city of Vancouver tonight if this were the last night of salvation. Oh, I wish it reached my heart more. It's an awful reality. What would it be, friend, if you missed salvation? Just continue to live under the condemnation you are found in, the guilt of your own sin. God has warned you. Hell yawns before you. And he wants to save you. And he says to you tonight, take the Lamb. Take the blood.
That satisfies for your condemnation. You can be saved tonight by believing God. Take his word for it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. How will you leave this room tonight, friend? As we've been hearing tonight, the two classes in one audience. When you came into this room, what class were you in? Saved or condemned? Lost. How will you leave? Oh, will you heed, friend, the love of the God of eternity, upon whose right hand sits that blessed person that once hung on Calvary's tree? He gave to God the answer for our sin. Our condemnation was borne by that Lamb upon Golgotha's tree. And God says tonight, you take the Lamb, take his blood, satisfying your condemnation. And he says, you can take my word for it. You are saved. May that be your portion. And if there is anyone here tonight, and that is your great desire, friend, don't close this day without Christ as your Savior. Give God that honor and give him your trust. Take him at his word tonight and rejoice to know Christ is my personal Savior.